Iran has launched 100 cruise missiles and drones at Israel. Jordan's shot down some of them, as we've heard in our news. Others have been shot down over Syria. All of Israel's in a state of high alert. Dozens of combat planes are in the air. The US has reportedly moved more warships into position in a bid to protect both Israeli and American forces. And the attack, just to remind you, is in retaliation for the missile attack on April 1 on the Iranian consulate in the Syrian capital, Damascus. And the dead included top Iranian military commanders. The US, it's thought, will try and use its Aegis anti-missile systems to intercept Iranian missiles. It may be doing that as we speak. There are more countries warning against travelling to either nation. GPS is down in parts of Israel to Fox some of those incoming missiles. And Royal Marines are preparing to conduct, it's being reported, a Dunkirk-style evacuation of Britons living in the Middle East if worse comes to worst. And that would take place off the Lebanese coast. The question is, how worse will things get? The Iranians have also seized an Israel-affiliated container ship in the Gulf. Waikato University's international law professor Alexander Gillespie is the author of the multi-volume series The Causes of War and A History of the Laws of War. He is joining us. Morena Al.
You're right, Jim.
Thank you for joining us. I think you say the last time the Americans were this precise about upcoming military risk was with the Russian invasion of Ukraine, and they got it right again here, didn't they?
They did. There's often some signs you can see beforehand, like the movement of troops, the movement of military assets, and the placement of top officials in bunkers. So you can see it coming, but the Americans called this correctly. It was foreseeable to them.
The strike on the consulate in Syria that killed the top military people from Iran and sparked this, does this qualify in, you know, the laws of war, in inverted commas, as self-defence, though? I mean, both Iran and the United States eliminate individuals hostile to either country. What is, in theory, the avenue Iran should go down in a properly ordered world?
Well, under the UN Charter, every country has the right to self-defence. But if your embassy or your diplomatic space is attacked in a third country, it's arguable whether that would actually be covered in that situation. In an ideal world, what you would have is the United Nations would be involved, there would be an apology, and there would be compensation offered. But we are not in an ideal world right now. What you're seeing is a situation of provocation, questions of national honour, and to a degree, revenge. And so it's uncertain which way this will go, but it's very clear that both countries have been trying to provoke each other for some time.
Speculation, of course, is irresistible. Israel will do what now? We think it might be overstretched with Hezbollah and the Houthis to contend with as well, but could Israel be seeing an opportunity?
In a best-case scenario, what will happen will be proportionate, and you would see a like-for-like strike by the Israeli forces on Iran, and you will also see no other countries get involved. In a worst case scenario, you will see other countries get pulled into the conflict, and you will see Israel take a chance to do a disproportionate response. Israel is not known for proportionality. It's likely that they may use overwhelming force. There is a chance here to take out some of Iran's nuclear capability that they've been developing, because if Israel ever wanted that opportunity, this would be that time.
But can it develop further into World War III, as is, of course, being suggested in, you know, some media?
I think it's very unlikely. The only way this could develop into a much larger global conflict is if Russia and China were involved. And although they will both be concerned about Iran as their friend, there is no defense alliance between those countries. But there is the possibility that it could become much larger within the region in the next few hours, if not days.
Yes, well, neither Putin nor Xi Jinping are saying the equivalent of Joe Biden's "we will help defend Israel and Iran will not succeed," which is what he's saying. They aren't saying anything similar, are they?
No, they're not. But what you are seeing is that, as you mentioned at the introduction of this discussion, the American assets and the British assets and the Jordanian assets are currently helping defend Iran. And so even though China and Russia will not get involved, it's possible that the expansion of targets that Iran wants to attack may get larger. And so that wouldn't just be potentially Jordan, it could also be the Emirates as well.
Oh, that's interesting. Well, calibrated retaliation that doesn't result in nuclear development facilities in Iran being destroyed by the Israelis. That's what the Iranians may presumably have been talking about quite intensely internally as well, yeah?
That they will hope that Israel will respond. Israel will respond, but they will do it in a proportionate way, and that certain things will be off limits. That is a questionable assumption right now, because this is the war that has never been direct between the two powers previously, and there's a lot of animosity between these two countries that goes back decades, and so it could expand more than Iran hopes it will.
Yes, we're seeing a proxy war suddenly erupt, aren't we?
It's not just between Israel and Iran. It can also pull in Lebanon, Syria, and Yemen, because the proxies in those countries may start to strike out as well at the same time. I think that's likely that you could see an expansion, but the more that pulls out, the more risk there is that other countries will get involved. And like even New Zealand, which has helped pledge to defend the Red Sea and that international waterway, may find that we may have to be asked to do more to contribute towards that defence.
What more might that be, do you think?
It's very unlikely that military assets from a country like New Zealand would be deployed in that region, and that's because they're probably too vulnerable right now, because Iran has quite a sophisticated military. But it may be that you would find that our frigates and naval assets do replacement work for the Americans or the Brits, who deploy their forces directly to the area. So we could end up helping with patrols in other parts of the world if called upon.
So our frigates mightn't be able to go into the Gulf in circumstances like these, won't be deployed anywhere near Yemen, they're too vulnerable. Does this call into question our having them if they are only really designed now for second-tier combat, as it were, backup ships, patrol ships behind the lines? I mean, might our money be better spent on some brand new aircraft or supply vessels, not frigates? These are questions that might be asked now.
There is a revolution in military technology occurring right now, and much of our platforms are from the 20th century, but warfare in the 21st century will be very different. It's hypersonic, it's artificial intelligence, it's autonomous weapons, it's cyber attacks. And so if we wish to have a credible defensive military force, we have some serious questions. And there's a difference between it being a military force and a police force, which it's been of recent years. And so our government has some very serious questions that are often just once in a generation that have to be answered now.
We can see that Iran will be wary of serious retaliation, as we've been speculating on, but obviously there's been pressure at home to be seen to be doing something, and of course now they are doing something. Both sides have internal politics and popularity and pride to consider. It sounds, you alluded to this before, it sounds sadly Victorian.
It is very Victorian. It's like something out of the 19th century, because they are both playing to domestic audiences. And the Iranian government has got very little credibility externally, and it's weak internally. And the Israeli government at the moment can also use some support as well. And so domestic considerations can drive both countries to expand the war, not actually remove it. In an ideal situation, what you would have had is something like what happened with the strike on the Iranian general in Iraq in 2020, Soleimani. And so the Americans took him out, the Iranians responded with a few missiles, and then both sides backed away. Trump didn't take the bait, both felt that their honor was satisfied, and they both showed further self-restraint. But whether that will happen here is arguable.
Yeah, because we're already seeing far more than a few missiles in this response from Iran. Yes, that's the indication.
And this is a situation which can go sideways. This is the chance that Israel has to really strike Iran. And this is something that they may have been waiting for quite some time. My expectation is that Iran is the one who's made the mistake in this scenario. This is not to justify the attack on the consulate that was clearly wrong and a violation of international law, but it's going to quickly become a situation of tit for tat that may expand unless both sides show restraint.
Good to have your expertise as always this morning, and the day will bring what we're going to find out about it. Professor Al Gillespie, thank you very much.
You're welcome.